Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Clear Voice, a brand new podcast where women support and inspire other women to be confident in their voices and to be heard. This week, I spoke to Chloe Dallolio about her journey from first hire to head of social media at Trini London, the hugely successful online beauty brand created by the fantastic Trini Woodall. We discuss women supporting women, standing up for your emotions, the power of improvisation, and body positivity. There's a particularly interesting part where she talks about the responsibility of having such a large following and then the messages that you give to that following. So listen out for it, and here we go. So Chloe, first of all, how was your journey?
It was okay, actually. Yeah.
But you've come from work and you work at?
Trini London.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that and how you found it and your journey there.
Sure. I started, I think, around 5 years ago.
Wow.
By now. And I was actually working at Saatchi Gallery before. Mm-hmm. And then Trini sent me an email saying, not sure where you are in your journey, but I heard you're creative. Would you like to see what I'm thinking?
Wow.
I have this idea about a beauty brand. Mm-hmm. Are you interested? Signed Trini Woodall. And at the time, I didn't really know who she was. Mm-hmm. And beauty wasn't really like my area, as mm-hmm. I come from a like visual arts and theater mm. background.
So is that what you were doing at Saatchi?
Yeah, I was working as a gallery assistant. So, but it was kind of, then I didn't reply at the beginning, but then I thought about it. And then a friend of mine, Federica, who was working at Saatchi with me as well, called me up and she's like, oh, did you get the same email? Because apparently she got in touch with both of us. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, should we give it a shot? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. So apparently we met the first investors on the Sunday. And from there, we kind of like bonded immediately in a way.
Wow.
And so after a couple of days, Trini needed us to create a lookbook of a product that mm-hmm. wasn't born yet. So it was a massive challenge, creative
wow.
challenge as
yeah.
well. So she shared her main ideas, which mm-hmm. was this stackable product that was mm-hmm. like round and
yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
For anyone that hasn't seen them.
Exactly.
Very
I
nice.
Have them.
Yeah.
If you want, I can show you later. I have it in my bag always.
Oh, yes,
a stack. So I started like finding images on news, on magazines, on the internet,
yeah.
and create this kind of like visual for something that wasn't born yet.
Wow.
And then the whole journey seen
yeah.
like through designer and mm-hmm. then the product was created and then we went to a digital agency to do digital. Then I went through social media as when she firstly went to investors and it was supposed to be like it's an online beauty brand.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was to convert her fans to followers, to mm-hmm. customers. So she really needed a strong online presence,
yeah.
a social media presence. And that's where I kind of like gravitated mm-hmm. around. So
yeah.
I started doing her first photos, then became videos, and then became longer videos. Then now it became TV shows.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I just did it all.
Amazing.
Self-taught.
How did you teach yourself to do that?
Self-taught as an editor, mm-hmm. actually, as a video editor. I studied digital marketing in London. So to be
okay.
able to be familiar with all the social media platforms mm-hmm. and the strategies. But as a video editor, it's just by necessity. So
yeah.
Trini was like, okay, reduce this to tot minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, let me try.
Mm-hmm.
So initially it was iMovie. So the
okay,
easiest
yeah,
tool
yeah.
With a Mac. And then with iMovie, I started like mm-hmm. experimenting a little bit and then asking here and there friends that were into filmmaking what mm-hmm. was the best way of cutting videos. And then slowly I kind of found my feet in
wow.
it. And yeah.
yeah. And so now you're, do you edit as well?
As well as direct, as well as the,
wow.
Not everything,
mm-hmm.
but the editorial kind of content and the TV shows that are that we are producing at the moment,
yeah.
yes.
Wow, because that's, so Trini London has quite a big following
yes.
at the moment. And it's like, what, 88,000?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Done my research.
Well done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Trini herself has,
yeah,
what,
almost half a million followers.
Yeah.
And
it's
at
amazing.
The beginning, it was just Trini with, like, mm. I think less than 10,000.
Really?
And we had to kind of really, like, produce content, create a strategy, build it. And at some point when the brand was about to launch, I was like, okay, Trini, we need the like the channel for the brand itself.
Right,
we can't
okay.
just have one.
So you were working on her personal channel as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that one. And then I'm like, okay, let's create a, one for the brand.
Are you responsible for the bathroom?
Not really. This is her doing her own content and finding, and that was really successful. So we kind of like,
well, so successful,
let's stick to it.
Amazing. And so when you're thinking about content, so all those people who are following, presumably a lot of women, majority women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And correct. So there you have this massive platform for talking to women and advising women. Yeah. And there's a huge amount of engagement.
Yes.
Like
absolutely.
Out of all the content on social media, Trini really stood out to me because I was like, this is so watchable.
Yeah.
In fact, even my husband, he's like, I can hear Trini. And he loves it as well. So when you're making this content, do you think about the messages that you want to put forward? Because it's very empowering. Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we have these key messages of the brand, which is like, be your best, which is like a massive thing for myself as well, but for all the women. So always try to be your best. Mm-hmm. Put some makeup on, put yourself outside bed and like have a mission. Every day, live for something.
Yeah.
Really have an objective every day. And so that's one of the main one that we also printed on the boxes, so that everyone that opens the box before getting the product, they see Be Your Best. It's a big reminder for us. We also have a massive neon sign that we gave to Trini for her birthday, yellow, like the brand. And it's there as a kind of like reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
And then, well, Trini has an amazing capacity of just like being herself and being entertaining. Mm. And
yes, she does.
Yes. So that's amazing per se. But also she created this brand out of a necessity and out of a self necessity. So she was traveling a lot. She needed a solution that was like portable, that was easy to use. Even if she forgot brushes, she really needed like something that she could use her fingers for. And then she made over so many women throughout her career. Yeah. So she feels like she knows women, and she actually does. Mm. So with all these voices of these women in her head, she tried to find what they needed. And it was something really quick, easy to use, easy to carry, something no faff, basically.
Yeah.
And this is actually what she managed to create, which is amazing. And I so see myself in that woman that needs that, because I'm the first one who's not a makeup artist, who's not comfortable with brushes, who has no time, who goes from work to improv to a night out. Like I'm always on the go, and that's the perfect kind of like solution that she created, and is actually working. So
and that's totally what we need. I really feel like there are so many. I read a statistic the other day about something like 98% of all the funding for new ventures is given to men.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily because there are like 100 women applying for it and they're like, no, only two women can do it. It's because women don't apply for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we don't get the products that we need or that could be created.
And also apparently the majority of investors are men, so they don't get the concept. So absolutely. I know Trini always says it when she talks publicly, that she had to go through a lot of investor meetings with men who didn't get the concept, until one woman in the board was like, actually, this is genius.
Yeah.
And that spark, like, then it was a snowball, and other people understood the concept and then supported. And now we have a kind of like network of investors. But
amazing. And so you mentioned also that you slightly changed your role recently.
Yes,
and
correct.
So talk to me about how you went about that. Like, how did you know that you wanted to change? Did you have conversations where you're like, I want to do this? Like, how did it happen?
Tricky question. Well, it's known that I'm more a creative person than an organizer, coordinator person. And
that's good, knowing your strengths.
Knowing my strengths.
Yeah.
But in different times, different things were needed. Mm-hmm. So as I know the brand as my pockets, I always feel like responsible for when we create new things, that to be kind of like, not overseeing, but like, just double check that it's everything. I really care. That's the main thing, actually. Yeah. It's nothing about that. When we do new things and I'm not involved in some of the new product, I'm always like, let's make sure that actually it's all as Trini will want. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, she's always there double checking everything. Mm. But when, I care really much. And I've always want the content and what the end result to be as top quality as we always like, work for. So that, I care. That's it.
That's good.
The main thing. Sorry. So I've been in charge of social media, and then we've been growing a lot really quickly. We launched like less than a bit more than 2 years ago, October 2017.
Wow.
And we're really young, but also almost really grown up, because we grew so much. Like, from my team was myself, then three people, and then suddenly now it's 12 in the social media team.
Wow, just in the social media team.
Just in the social media team. In the office, it was like five of us, and now we're like almost 30, like 25 to 30. Wow. It was an explosion of people.
Yeah.
And having everyone on board and understanding the values of the company and the visual of the company, the kind of like the aesthetics, and also the core messages and stuff. It takes a lot of care.
Yeah.
And Trini is amazing because she really tests people before allowing them to actually produce the content. Mm-hmm. But then when she trusts them, then that's it. So they actually need to prove that they care, I think. I mean, she never said that, but I think this is what's happening.
And but that's good.
Fair enough. It's her brand, so yeah.
Totally.
And so I've always been in charge of social media, and but then it was also the video content, the creation of the concept behind the video content. Mm-hmm. But then as the more the team grows, the more, of course, these roles are shared with the team.
Yeah.
It's a teamwork, of course, which is amazing because you have many creative brains working together, creating something even better, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Because not always you need to create a video, you have the idea. Mm-hmm. And if you have a chat with other people and then they're like, oh, how about glitter? Or how about bubbles? You're like, oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, luckily enough, Shasha, which is the lead makeup artist, has a lot of amazing ideas because she was an artist as well, so a painter. So she brings to the table these ideas, and then we make them into videos, and then we edit them, and then we try to kind of like put them out there in the best way possible. Yeah. So I've been editing videos and taking care of the editorial calendar and all the everything that is needed in a social media team.
Yeah.
But now that we're producing so much content over two platforms, Trini does her lives every day.
Yes.
We have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Like, it's impossible for just one person. Mm. So we've been kind of like sharing. Now we have a few editors in the company, a few like copywriters. And the more we grew, the more we came up with ideas. So now we're doing these two shows. One is the Takeover show, which is a kind of like updated version of Trini's makeovers.
Yes.
They are really, really sweet. And yes, we are now series two. We are editing and shooting the series two, which is quite exciting.
And I have to say, having watched some, they are so good. It's wonderful. There's a lot of running through Zara.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Running through Zara.
It's brilliant. It's so good.
High speed. Yeah. So now we have an editor, Sylvia, which is just working on that, and I'm directing. Mm-hmm. So that's great. And also filming. And then we have the new Trini What the Tea, which is like behind the scenes, a day in the life of Trini London, which is a new experimental like behind the scenes documentary of Trini London, also on the Trini London platforms that I film and edit. Mm-hmm. And
so what does that show?
That shows how we are growing, how much we're growing. That shows what everyone is doing behind the scenes, how Trini is working with us, like how present she is with the team and with the brand, running around, doing photo shoots. We moved office recently, so from a tiny house in South Kensington, we are now in a massive office off the King's Road, which is super exciting. Yeah. And like, wow, what's this? We're still cramped. Social media team is still like elbow to elbow, but the rest of the space is beautiful and we can walk around. And anyway, so yeah, that's great. What else? Like, we've been to New York recently, so episode 3 was like Trini Takes New York, what happened in New York, all the meetings we met, all this press. We went out. It was just like what happens behind the scenes of this startup that is now like a proper beauty brand.
It's amazing. Isn't absolutely it? Amazing. It's so incredible. Like, having seen and researched a little bit, like the story of it, and it's just, I can't believe it. And it's so unbelievably cool that it is totally female led.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing because there are just not enough role models like that. There is, you know, we hear about so many men like Elon Musk, like he's going to the moon, all this stuff, you know, like Richard Branson.
Yeah.
but there aren't enough female entrepreneurs yes. that we can look at and be like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That is a real example of how to do it and how to do it so well and yeah. how to work with women and create something incredible also for women.
Yeah.
Super cool in my yeah. book. Super
I know.
Cool.
And I don't know enough like female directors, female editors. Yeah. And Trini always trusted me in creating that content. Mm. And it's just like, it's a great way of learning and of doing yeah. something for our audience.
Amazing.
So it's great, yeah.
So outside of work.
Yes.
Yes. You do loads of other stuff.
Correct.
So let's start. I mean, I don't know where to start. Should we start with improv?
Yeah, let's start with improv. Yes.
Okay. So you're doing improv and you're doing improv in your second language.
Correct.
Perché tu è italiana.
Sì.
Yes. So how do you find that? And also how do you find like operating in the second language all the time and in business mm-hmm. and in improv?
Yeah. Okay. I find it, I love it, just mm-hmm. to start with. My mom grew up in another country as well. She's Italian, but she grew up in Stockholm. And she always tells me when she got there, when she was a kid, she couldn't understand anything. She was just sleeping. And then slowly she got really good at it and she embraced it and loved it. So she always gave me this passion for like foreign languages and traveling and really embracing other cultures, which is great.
Yeah.
And she also gave me kind of like English lessons since I was a kid. It's making me love the language. And this is also how I managed to kind of like get the job at Saatchi Gallery. It was an hour and a half interview, really complicated and really
hour
specific. It was like a long chat, but like they had a pile of CVs saying, it was an internship mm-hmm. to start with, but like, why would you choose you instead of like all these people that have two masters in America? And it was
what
like,
did you say?
Well, I can't remember now. It was five years ago. But I just was myself. I was like, I really love to learn. I love art. I'm really committed. Let me try. And actually that worked. So
I think that is just to pick up on that is such a massive thing that I think so many people, myself included, we all need to learn that actually like genuine passion and being yourself are so much more valuable than anything else.
Than
the giving
studies.
the cleverest answers with things that you've like really researched. Like as long as you show that genuine passion, people will be so infected by that.
Yeah.
So yes.
And this is what you need for improv as well.
Well, yes.
And this is how I survive my improv shows as well. It's like the commitment, the passion, and the courage in a way of being afraid not to fail or embracing failure, which is a massive thing in improv that we are actually not just embracing, but sometimes bowing at.
Any good examples that spring to mind?
I just remember all the times that I tried to say something, that I had the idea of the reply or like something that I wanted really to say and I couldn't have the words because when I'm really tired, my brain slows down with English. And then I'm like, and everyone is just like, say it in Italian, just say it in Italian and justify it because improv is all about justifying. As long as you are like committing in what you're saying, you can say anything. Mm-hmm. But as long as it's not hurting anyone, but if you're genuine and like committed, that's enough. Mm. So I remember a scene I've done where I was doing a solo mini scene, so on my own doing two characters, and I was supposed to be a wizard teaching a young kid to how to drive.
Okay, and you're playing both of these characters?
Playing both of these characters.
Amazing.
Like
I'm
like
so
jumping from
already.
One to the other one. And it was a wizard teaching driving lessons, classes to a low voice kid. Somehow I don't know
so
it's part of a game and actually I don't know the specific terms of the car in English because I've had my driving test in Italy and I don't really drive here that much so I don't know exactly like the term, so I had to say steering wheel, but at the time I didn't know what it was.
And what is it in Italian?
So it's volante.
Okay.
Means like flying. So I had to say, so blah blah blah, and use that thing that in Italian is called volante, but I don't know in English, but it's the important thing is that you use that. And then the kid was like, oh, I didn't know we were having Italian lessons as well. That's really cool. Okay, I'm gonna use the volante. Oh, this. So like justifying in a positive way. The audience doesn't really care if you don't know everything exactly. Actually, they love to see how positive you are in picking up everything that happens and then you make it into something. Mm-hmm. And usually we call that gifts, like when we are in a scene with someone and you never know what's about to happen, you know nothing. Mm-hmm. You sometimes just ask for a word to the audience and then you work with it. And if the other, your scene partner just comes up with something, mm-hmm. you always take it as a gift. You always need, you always want to make the other person look good. So whatever they say, mm-hmm. you have to kind of like justify it and make sense to it in a way.
Yeah.
And so it's called yes and. So it's like, oh yes, what you said. Mm-hmm. And it's also cool because. Yeah. So you create something together. Let's say someone says see, and I start the scene and I'm like, okay, captain, we are almost arrived at our destination.
Yeah.
And if the other person says, oh no, we're in the office, what are you talking about? Because they're scared to go on an adventure. Okay. They kill the scene, and the audience will be like, oh. But if the other person just picks up because they have no idea what I'm saying, but they're like, oh, okay, she's a captain. Oh, yeah. I'm the captain, actually. Okay, lieutenant, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, yes, we are on this adventure together. And actually, we are in Spain. Of course, we're looking for the treasure.
There we go. You know
what
I mean?
And then everyone is like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. They're in Spain and they're on a ship.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amazing.
This is what they want to see. And I don't care if...
They say steering wheel in Italian.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You know, that's not the main thing. Yeah. The main thing is being in the present, being in the moment, mm-hmm. and create something with your scene partner. And yes, and what they say, which is an amazing life lesson and not just like a theater or improv lesson.
Yeah, totally. Massive life lessons. I think also what you said is like the audience care far less about failure than you do.
Yes.
Right? That's what you just said. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, actually, that's totally right. And we'll all have failures and they are awful. They are so awful. But maybe just have your failure for a day and then the next day get up, because that failure is only personal to you.
Yes.
And if you take that and you move on, you are only going to learn from it.
Exactly. Take failure as a way of learning. That's the key message that I got from improv as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, if you don't make mistakes, you're never going to learn in anything.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Like, it's so simple, but it's so, people are so afraid to fail in everything.
Yeah. Especially, I think, in today's society when everything is recorded.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a record, like, thank God, I was, social media and like Instagram stories were not around when I was, like, you know, getting drunk for the first time. Because, like, having a record
you recorded.
Oh, yeah. All my misdemeanors as a youth, you know? And I think that's so hard. And I see it a lot. I work with young children as well. And I have some young children and they're just so afraid to sing something wrong or even sing something because it might be wrong. Yeah. Like, they haven't even done it wrong yet.
Yeah. But that goes back to the parents that are, like, scared themselves. And they transmit to their kids, like, their fears.
Yeah.
And if you stop this kind of, like, chain and you introduce positivity in it,
absolutely,
you will make the world better.
Yeah. So improv has been great for you, and you also now teach it as well, right?
Yeah, I'm slowly. I'm not a teacher yet, but I started hosting workshops, and I'm team captain for jam sessions. That means that we open the 2 nights a week to everyone to just come and play, basically. So on Wednesday, it's short form games and scenes, and on Sundays, we do short form, long form, scenes. It's like we do all the formats of improv, basically.
Short form being, how short are we talking?
We're talking either games, so they're really, really short, or scenes, two people's scenes, and it's just one scene. Where the long form, it becomes more of a story. So like you have a scene and then another scene that is connected with the first one, another one that is connected with the first one, or the character.
And can anyone come along and do this?
Yes. It's open to like newbies, beginners, or like really good improvisers. Even because you always play with new people, and that's the scariest thing again. I remember going to my first jams like a couple of years ago and being absolutely terrified. I felt like a kamikaze. It's like, you don't know, not only you don't know because improv, you don't know what's going to happen, but you don't know the other person.
Exactly.
You don't know.
Room of strangers.
Yeah. Because when you work with a team for a long time, you kind of like know, like, okay, I'm Italian, so maybe don't do puns, English puns with me. Do more kind of like physicality, emotion things.
Yeah.
But all, if it's two very English, British people, maybe they can do jokes about, I don't know, Fawlty Towers because it's fun for English. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if you know who
your cultural references.
If you know who are you performing with, it's easier to kind of like set the tone and like play within each other, because it's also not just playing with the audience, it's playing with your scene partner and kind of like challenge him or her as much as, so it's fun, because people want to see you having fun. They don't want you, they don't want to see you just being perfect, as we said before.
Of course. That's so boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
So not only not knowing what you're doing, but not knowing anyone about the person who's on stage with you, it's really challenging, and you can find, but if you're open to it, there was this scene, this thing that happened last Wednesday, where an improviser starting doing a kind of like a monologue about something. So he wasn't really letting the other person speak. Yeah. And the other person was so good. And he's like, the reference was Venice. And one of the two guys starting like talking about Venice and that one and that one and that one. And the other person was like, oh, you're the best city tour guide I've ever met.
Oh my God,
tell
amazing.
Me more about that. And he's like, yes, of course, blah, blah, blah. And the scene was hilarious. And afterwards, I was like, oh my God, you've been amazing at Yes And. And you made the other person look amazing. And you just shined through.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's what we want. Like if you have... And this is the same as you have to do at work.
Yes,
like,
I just...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you're in that situation and someone is being like a total bore or trying to take all the credit or like stealing the limelight all the time, it is so tempting to A, try and sabotage them, B, try and deflect everything and be like, no, look at my thing. But if you do that... then you both look good, but also you shine more because everyone can see that person doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So how do you create that safe space that people need to be in order to do these incredibly brave things?
Good question. Well, I suppose at the beginning, we kind of have a chat and I ask where they are at in the improv journey and try to understand if I have like total beginners. I always let them know that improv is not about like being perfect. You're not right or wrong. You can do whatever you want and say whatever you think, as long as it's not like too sexual, too like it's dangerous physically. And if you're positive and if you create characters that know each other and love and like each other, it's more likely to create something beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Because if you start like, if you ask the audience, what's the relationship between the two characters to give them like something to be inspired by, and they say brother and sister, it happened to me at the beginning. I had a few bad experiences and they said to me and my scene partner, you're sisters. And she started saying, I hate you. I hate you. And I was like, oh, sorry. She's like, oh, and I've never wanted a sister. And you need to change your gender because otherwise we can't be sisters. And I was like, okay.
Whoa.
It was like, whoa. Like, whoa. So many levels.
So
I don't even want to start
that
the conversation
baggage.
About it.
Yeah.
But it hurt me so much. And in that case, interesting enough, I was like, okay, I will do everything you want. I will change gender. I will do everything. And she was like, no, I still hate you. And I was so hurt by that scene that I left crying. And then I had a chat with my director and teacher at the time, which is the founder of the school, which is like the most beautiful person. And he's like, you know what? I know that improv is all about yes and, but you also have to yes and your emotions. So if you're in that case, she's hurting you. You don't have to say yes and whatever you say yes. And what you said is hurting me and this is not what I want.
Okay,
so I'm not going to change for you. I'm going to stand up for myself. And I was like, whoa, that's powerful.
That is so powerful.
That's yes ending her character, but not yes ending her negativity.
That's so interesting.
Oh my God, I have shivers.
Oh.
It's so true. And I didn't,
but it's true. It is true. And I really, I've experienced that recently in my professional life. And I think, and it's been with older men who are in charge.
Typical.
What a surprise.
Classic.
You know, and, you know, wanting to be a team player and wanting to please.
Yeah.
And look great and like do all the work that I need to do and be really efficient, and it kind of gets to the point where you're like, actually you are taking the piss and I have to call you out on this. And what I didn't realize, and you know, when Sarah and I first chatted about doing this podcast, I was saying, you know, I'm a very outspoken person, but sometimes I'm not outspoken enough. She was like, you know, like you'd be at the top of my list for outspoken people. And I was like, I'd be at the top of my list as well. You know, but then in that professional situation, I kind of I speak up, but not enough.
Yeah, see.
But actually really owning that and saying, I totally understand where you're at, but this is not okay.
Yeah.
And owning, and there is somehow that some respect was created there, which I'm really pleased about.
Yeah.
And you do have to do that. You have to yes and your emotions. I love that.
Yeah, and there are a few ladies that on stage do that, and they are the ones that get the most like loud cheer from the audience because we're like, yes. Also because there is not enough ladies in improv and enough diversity. I mean, we have a few specific groups, but it's male dominated. Although now it's changing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, in my team, we're like even. So that's amazing. It's a conscious choice. Mm. But if you see people that turn up at jams or like people that do courses, it's mainly men. I don't know why.
Also, I would find that intimidating.
I know. You know,
I don't know why it is.
But every time, like, because these men situation happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. Although improvisers are really good. But like newbies, maybe they don't really know what the boundaries are. And when women are like, you know what? That's wrong. Or you know what? And they just shout out like a very feminist statement, like in the people in the audience are like, wah! Like yes, it is never enough. Like yes, please do it.
Yeah, and I think once we actually do that, there's a really positive reaction. Yes. But so often there's self censorship that means, oh no, I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. And that is what stops us. That is what it is.
I know.
It's our own self, and that is, I'm like, no, that's the most tragic thing.
Oh my god, there is like a really quick fun story. I was doing a show about like short form games, and there was this scene. It was supposed to be spooky as a theme, and we were doing this game, and I was in a cave with a person, and like Dracula came or someone like. Like a monster of some sort, and they were trying to like terrorize me, and I was ending this kind of like spooky blood kind of theme, and he was like, no, blah blah blah, and at some point I'm like, yes, I'm also on my period, right, I'm bleeding from there. And he's like, what? He jumped back, and like, and all the women were like, yeah,
that's amazing.
Like, it's just such a normal thing that like men are still like, so I managed to make the most horrifying fact for him, and that was like,
that's amazing. That is so amazing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everything I said, nothing, and then menstrual blood. Like, he jumped back, and it was really funny.
Spookiest of all.
Yeah, that is not enough. So I'm actually quite proud of what I've done on that occasion.
I am proud of you for that. It's so why are periods such a big thing, guys? Come on.
Exactly.
Literally, it's really not that bad. It literally happens all the time. I think it stems, I don't know what happens initially, but here, basically when you're like between the ages of maybe 11 and 13, at one term in school, we have sex education. it's not as exciting. But there's like that week, I don't know what for you, Sarah, but like they took the girls into one room and the boys into another room.
Oh my God.
And the boys talked about boy things and the girls talked about girl things. So it's like from that age when you first properly learn about it, it's like, this is only girl business. And the boy business, I don't even know what happened in that room. Maybe they talked about how to make the patriarchy better. I don't know. probably. But, you know, like, so from that young age, it's like, this is not for you boys.
Yeah.
And you should be wary of it. And it's totally marginalized. And you should not speak about it or know about it.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It's so weird.
They have wives. They have sisters. They have mothers. They will have children that we'll have to take care of.
Yeah, exactly.
What? They should be the first one to know, to support and to
absolutely.
Be like, It's crazy.
Don't even get me started.
No, like, it's not about that. But
doing
like,
our jobs while we're bleeding and having to do the same thing and no one knowing. But anyway. Yes. So you also a massive activist for body positivity.
Yes.
And one of my favorite things I saw from your Instagram was, and it was ages ago, and you were like, you were talking about being body positive, and you were like, I can't remember what you said. Something along the lines of, do what you can, eat healthily, as healthily as you can, and live a body positive life.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, because, you know, you have a following and you are giving a message to women.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, it's about being responsible. And there are so many body positive activists that are like, fuck this, I'm going to have pizza tonight and I'm going to enjoy this. It's like, it's not about that. Like, obviously, have pizza when you want to have some pizza, but we should all be being healthy. It's not about eating ourselves into heart attacks age 40.
It's not promoting, obesity is not promoting not self-care. It's promoting self-care.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever shape or size is like, be your best. It goes back to the first message.
Yeah.
Try to be your best. Try to eat as healthy as you can. Mm-hmm. Try to try new vegetables, yeah. try to go to the gym and be healthy. Because like beauty comes, comes from outside and from within, but it comes from accepting yourself, and it's a journey for everyone. And the more gentle you take it, and the more kind of like kind you are with yourself, trying to do your best to improve what you are and how you are, the best, that's all you can do, I think.
Yeah.
Because just aspire to crazy ideals, body and like anything, it's just so unhealthy. It's crazy. Like my Instagram feed, like it has nothing of it, it's just had real people, not real people, it has celebrities as well, but no one that is perfect, like super tan, super, it's just relatable. I have a few of them as well, but mostly it's like regular size or like, I don't know, positive people. I think if I see someone that is too fake or too, I don't know, gym stretched, but then you can see that they're super, super sad and not happy with themselves. It's not what I want to see every day. Yeah. It's just like people that actually are active in trying to be their best, however they are.
Yeah, and that's how social media can be such a positive influence. Yeah. If you're getting all that positivity, then that's amazing. Yeah. But equally, if you're following people the other way around and channels like that, then it can be such a negative, and it can literally be a dose of negativity every time you look at it.
I know.
But it's such a compulsion, isn't it?
A lot of people that I know, they're like, oh my God, I get so depressed looking at Instagram because everyone is super slim, they're all having fun, everyone is like perfect, and I'm like, that's toxic, like stop following these people. Just follow people that give you positive vibes. Absolutely. And that's it. You have a choice on social media nowadays to really just read or have in front of your eyes what you want. Like, you're still targeted by marketing, but you can, more than when you were watching TV sitting and not doing anything, you have the choice now to really have your information in how do you say, input, kind of tailored to you and tailored to what's closer to your heart and mind and soul. So do it, like,
and I love the that message you've created within Trini. It's that whole, you're making beauty products, but it's not beauty products based on something being wrong with people and playing on negative aspects.
No, at all.
And all the marketing is like, be your best, like have, make this more positive, and like take who you are and make yourself feel better. It's not like you look like do this, do that. It's not based on that negativity. And also your mind is so like loads of different ages, different body types, different skin tones. It's I appreciate that much.
It's real women. It's no retouching. It's just like any lady that want to use and rethink their routine and being their best with simple kind of like solutions, basically.
And you're also in Paris being body positive, and also where else?
In Milan.
In Milan.
And soon in Berlin.
Oh, how excited. Yeah.
I'm part of this association called Body Positive Catwalk, and we do that. We undress from our clothes, from shame and prejudice, and we march in these capitals of fashion.
Wow. Just
trying to spread this message that, stop being obsessed with like unhealthy standards of society and embrace yourself, embrace your body. I met so many people from all over the world, especially in Milan. We had so many people like disabled with like a fake leg or like from everywhere, different skin tone, different languages, different age, different body shape, really skinny people, really anything really, everyone with a story, everyone with a journey, everyone that is like proud of who they are now, and they're really wanting to improve that and to be their best again, and everyone holding hands and trying to shout out to the world to be confident within themselves.
And what was the reception?
Well, great. We had a lot of people, a lot of press, more people that want to join, more ladies. I got a lot of response on Instagram as well, like all these ladies saying, you're amazing what you're doing with for other people. Aww. Yesterday, I got a lady saying, you're a role model for my daughter. I wanted to cry. I'm like, that's so... Even changing one person's perception of the world is just filling my heart.
Yeah, I have to say, like, so nice. That is amazing. And I really wish that you had been around when, you know, when I was younger. And, you know, and that there was, see, total U-turn now, having said, I wish social media, I'm so glad it was not around when I was young. Now being like, I wish it was around when I was young. Maybe just the good bits.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because, like, my body was like, when I was at school, I was like, what is going on? Like, I have a massive bum. Mm. And obviously that is now totally in, which mm-hmm. is great.
Exactly.
Win for me.
You look stunning. So
thank you so much. But I when I was at school, I was like, didn't fit into any kind of aesthetics. I was, grew up in the 90s. It's like Paris Hilton. My body is so different to hers.
I know.
And there was no kind of like positivity around that at all. And my mum... I love my mum so much. She would always be like, but darling, you're beautiful. But I just, you have to say that. I was always like, yeah. You have to say that. You know, but being able to see yourself in someone else and have that kind of role model, yeah. It's just so important.
I had terrible experience at school as well. I was kind of like bullied from my, I had in my class at elementary school, primary school, it was like 20 boys and 2 girls somehow.
Oh, wow.
And I was the biggest and the other one was like blonde and perfect and stuff. And I was like the tallest, even mm-hmm. taller than the guys and then the biggest and everyone. And I had crushes on my like schoolmates mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, so do you like me? Oh, you why? And they're like, no. And I'm like, is it because I'm fat? They're like, yes.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God. Oh, okay.
And so it was really harsh. Yeah. And actually, it's fun because now they're the one that want to go out with me. And I'm like, you are yes. now like, what? So that's really like a revenge. As anyway, but talking about the mom, my mom was amazing as well because she always told me that you should never be ashamed of anything unless you do something wrong towards other people. But like you be ashamed only if you do something wrong. If you are yourself, if you do your best, mm-hmm. she always told me, like, even at school, even when I was worried, you just do your best, mm-hmm. whatever it is, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Just don't be ashamed of anything that is different from like a harmful action towards any other people. And this is kind of like, amazing. I've always thought that. So I shouldn't be ashamed because I have a belly because, I don't know, I should be ashamed if I say something that hurt people or do something that hurt people, not in other kind of situations. And this is like something that I really want to spread as well because it's quite, not all moms, like not everyone kind of like,
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like your mom's an amazing female role model for you. Or just role model.
Yeah, she is.
So, and that brings me on to,
do
you have any women that you would like to talk about? Totally don't have to because I only texted you about this like an hour ago.
Okay.
Are there any women in particular that have influenced you?
Well, this is a big question and I thought about it, like you just texted me about it and I'm like, oh my God, this is so much pressure.
Definitely should have given you a bit more notice.
And
don't worry, it's not like your top 10 list.
No, I know, exactly. And I don't want to give names. The only thing I would say, like, big shout out to, well, this is like sound political and I hate being political, but shout out to the whole LGBT community. And I'm really close to a lot of like a few transgender girls and women that I shared my journey with recently. That's another whole new story, but I'm really close to the LGBT community. And shout out to all the women that are struggling to fit into society and are mm-hmm. actually they decided to embrace and be themselves and transition at any level or just embrace their sexuality, their gender, their story. They're still, society's not ready, unluckily, so I know too well how difficult it is for them to just be, just go to work, to find a work, to be accepted mm-hmm. and to walk around the streets how they are and how they feel without being harassed. Mm-hmm. Because it's a case for women, but it's also, we are also very much privileged compared to minorities, to be honest.
Yeah.
So shout out to all these ladies that are really proud of themselves and or are on the journey to be proud, but they are embracing who they are and they're just like living day by day, trying to kind of like be themselves and be their best.
Amazing.
So this is what I would say, thinking of like empowering women and inspiring women. I have different people around me that are great and I love them dearly. Amazing. And they are amazing.
Brilliant. Well, you're amazing too, Chloe. Thank you so much. I've loved talking to you this evening. It's been brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That was amazing.
How brilliant was that? Chloe was such a warm person to speak to. Please go and follow her. Everything we talked about is linked in the show notes. And tune in next week when I'll be speaking to Toya Delezy about educating the haters and what it's like being a modern day Zulu princess. Please rate, review and subscribe so that we can help spread the word and make our voices heard.